You'll find a Bible before you in the pew. Pick it out and turn with me to the book of Judges at the chapter 15. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges. Chapter 15. But it came to pass within a while after, in the time of wheat harvest, that Samson visited his wife with a kid. And he said, I will go in to my wife into the chamber. But her father would not suffer him to go in. And her father said, I verily thought that thou hadst utterly hated her. Therefore I gave her to thy companion. Is not her younger sister fairer than she? Take her, I pray thee, instead of her. And Samson said concerning them, Now I shall be more blameless than the Philistines, though I do them a displeasure. And Samson went and caught 300 foxes and took firebrands and turned tail to tail and put a firebrand in the midst between two tails. And when he had set the brands on fire, he let them go into the standing corn of the Philistines and burnt up both the shocks and also the standing corn and the vineyards and the olives. Then the Philistines said, Who hath done this? And they answered, Samson, the son-in-law of the Timnite, because he had taken his wife and given her to his companion. And the Philistines came up and burnt her and her father with fire. And Samson said unto them, Though ye have done this, yet I will be avenged of you, and after that I will cease. And he smote them hip and thigh with a great slaughter. And he went down and dwelt in the top of the mount Etan. Then the Philistines went up and pitched in Judah and spread themselves in Lehi. And the men of Judah said, Why are ye come against us? And they answered, To bind Samson are we come up, to do to him as he hath done to us. Then 3,000 men of Judah went to the top of Etam and said to Samson, Knowest thou not that the Philistines are rulers over us? What is this that thou hast done unto us? And he said unto them, As they did unto me, so have I done unto them. And they said unto him, We are come down to bind thee, that we may deliver thee into the hand of the Philistines. And Samson said unto them, Swear unto me that ye will not fall upon me yourselves. And they spake unto him, saying, No, but we will bind thee fast, and deliver thee into their hand. But surely we will not kill thee. And they bound him with 2 new cords and brought him up from the rock. And when he came unto Lehi, the Philistines shouted against him. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. And the cords that were upon his arms became as flax that was burnt with fire. And his bands loosed from off his hands. And he found a new jawbone of an ass, and put forth his hand and took it, and slew 1,000 men therewith. And Samson said, with the jawbone of an ass heaps upon heaps, with the jawbone of an ass have I slain 1,000 men. And it came to pass, when he had made an end of speaking, that he cast away the jawbone out of his hand and called that place Ramath Lehi. And he was sore athirst and called on the Lord and said, Thou hast given this great deliverance unto the hand of thy servant. And now shall I die for thirst and fall into the hand of the uncircumcised. But God clave a hollow place that was in the jaw, and there came water thereout. And when he had drunk, his spirit came again, and he revived. Wherefore he called the name thereof En-Hakkor, which is in Lehi unto this day. And he judged Israel in the days of the Philistine 20 years. Ending our reading at verse 20. And God will bless his word read to us. I take the promised Holy Ghost, the blessed power of Pentecost, to fill me to the uttermost. I take. Thank God he undertakes for me. And the people of God said, Amen. You may be seated. In the 15th chapter of the book of Judges, we read concerning a place which was called En-Hakkor. The place En-Hakkor. Around that place, there is an amazing history and an amazing historical event. God Almighty always uses the despised things to confound the mighty. Samson's enemies decided to blind the strong man of Israel, and then to torture him, and then to put him to the cruelest death that their evil minds could devise. But evil will be the harvest of those who sow and grow the seeds of evil. These wicked men succeeded by the duplicity and treachery of Samson's own kinsmen, getting Samson into the hands of his enemies. But they were not able to bring to fruition their task of murder and cruelty. No one can war against the true God and prosper, and never will. They ought to have known that it was God's man against whom they battled. Samson's God could not know any defeat. But their binding of Samson was not with the chains of might, but with the threads of weakness. And with their own guilt staring them in the face, they fell heaps upon heaps to their immediate doom, to entire defeat and hideous damnation. Those appointed by God to do his work have special protection from God. God punishes injuries done to his servants as if they were injuries done to his own person. I'd remind you of a portion of Scripture, Numbers chapter 12, verses 5 to 10. It was about Miriam and Aaron, the sister and brother of the great prophet Moses. And they complained against their brother. And we read, the Lord came down in the pillar of the cloud and stood at the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam, and they came forth. And he said, hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision, and will speak unto him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all mine house. With him I will speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches. And the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore then are ye not afraid of my servant Moses? And the anger of the Lord was kindled against him, and he departed. And the cloud departed from off the tabernacle. And behold, Miriam became leprous, white as snow. And Aaron looked upon Miriam, and behold, she was leprous. God's servants are always under the special protection of God. Woe to those who would rough handle the servants of Christ. Hear the word of the Lord. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, he that toucheth my servant toucheth the apple of mine eye. The occasion that I've been reading to you from the 15th chapter of Judges reveals the triumph of the wicked was short-lived. When God is on our side, the wisdom of God is on the side of his servant. God never sends any man to war at his own charges. He will always be up on the spot when it is his time to confound utterly the enemies of his people. When God delivers, he can use the meanest weapon to overthrow all his enemies. Remember, the secret of victory which God wrought was not in the weapon, nor in the arm, but in the Spirit of God alone, who wields any weapon he chooses to the confusion of all his enemies. It is the old story of blowing the ram's horns and the strong walls of Jericho fell down flat. The boy David killed the great Goliath with a sling and a stone. Moses brought the 10 mighty plagues on Egypt through stretching out a mere shepherd's rod. And the mightiest throne that was ever erected in this world, and on which the prince of darkness sat, received a near recoverable blow from the use of the most despicable of weapons, a cross. Paul, writing to the Colossians, says, Christ spoiled principalities and powers He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in the cross. Sometimes the simplest truth stated plainly by an uneducated person pierces through the strongest armor with irresistible effect. The honest spirit is that in which the power rests. And that spirit can penetrate to heart and conscience of all those that fight against God. The real source of spiritual power is the gospel of Christ, and lies partly in the character of the truth contained in that gospel, and partly in the presence of the living Spirit of God, confirming that truth and making it effectual. God puts His treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. How much better it is to serve Him with the jawbone of an ass than not to serve Him at all. The strongest as well as the weakest are totally dependent on God's power. Samson, without God's help, was as powerless as an unweaned baby. After his miraculous slaughter of 1,000 Philistine warriors, he was brought to the very brink of death by lack of water. The life drained from his body, and death seemed to be inescapable. Read the record. He was sorely athirst. The strongest man in the battle had now become the weakest man. His strength had ebbed away. The jaws of death seemed to open to crush him to death. Forsaking his fleshly power, he turns to God. Having acknowledged his weakness unto death, he turns to God in believing prayer. His prayer was erected with the following pillars. First pillar was adoration. He returned his thanks to God for what God had already done. He gave God all the glory for his mighty victory over the Philistines. He said, "Thou hast given this great deliverance into the hand of thy servant." He acknowledged the success as the gift of God, the grace of God alone. Samson got it right. He honored his God only. The victory was given to the only one who brought it about. That is the right way to pray, to give God the glory for everything. To ask God to further deliver without returning thanks for deliverance already received is the sure way to have God turn a deaf ear to your prayers. Second pillar, humiliation. Samson confessed his humiliation. He calls himself the servant of God. He takes the lowly position. He's only a slave. This was Paul's great term. He called himself the slave of God. Samson was in the succession of the greatest man ever born of woman. He was in the John the Baptist succession. The man who said God must increase, I must decrease. But the incarnate God himself put it on record. Luke's Gospel chapter 7, verse 24 to verse 28. And when the messengers of John were departed, Jesus began to speak unto the people concerning John. What went ye out into the wilderness for to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went ye out to see? A man clothed in soft raiment. Behold, they which are gorgeously apparelled and live delicately are in the king's courts. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet. Yea, I say unto you, and much more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face. They shall prepare a way before thee. For I say unto you, among those that are born of women, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist. But he that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. The third pillar, vindication. Samson's cry for the vindication of God. God had delivered him before by the slaughter of 1,000 men. Their plan to destroy God's man was completely overturned. Now, because of his thirst, the Philistines would win in the end and kill him. He turns to God in prayer. And to God alone. Judges 15:18. And he was sore athirst and called on the Lord and said, Thou hast given this great deliverance into the hand of thy servant. And now shall I die for thirst and fall into the hand of the uncircumcised. The second jaw is now mentioned. It is the jaw of the rock of the land of Lehi. Fourth pillar is liberation. Samson called God's delivering and Hakor, which means the well of him that cried to his God. It was not the jawbone of the ass that remained unto this day. It was this well from the rock's jaw, which God dug out to provide a well for his servant. What God did for Samson, he can do for all men. Because you can receive from Christ the water of life freely. And by receiving that, you can be saved by grace from your sins. The fifth pillar was participation. Samson had served Israel for 20 years. Partaking of the water revived his soul by the Holy Spirit, and glory crowned his mercy seat. It was as a rejected man that Samson became the ruler of the people. It was announced by the angel to his mother that he would begin to deliver Israel from the Philistines. And that is exactly what he did. God never fails the man or woman who prays. Over and over again in the Bible, God calls himself the God of Jacob. What was Jacob most noted? He was most noted for his prayers. Who are saved? Those who are saved by prayer. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. God gave up his only Son for us. And when we receive him as our Savior, we become so closely joined to him that no amount of blessing is too great for God to pour upon those that trust Him. Added to this, the gift of Christ opens a way for Him to bestow upon us countless other blessings. Every obstacle to His blessing is removed, and it is most glorifying to God to answer prayer. Our sins are abhorrent to God, yet when we confess our sins, He cleanses them away forever in His precious blood, and we are accepted in the Beloved. Great deliverances should be greatly remembered. You remember Noah? He built an altar. He made a sacrifice after escaping the waters of the flood. What about Jacob? He didn't build an altar. He set up a pillar and made a vow to his God. Jacob, Abraham, after he had been spared sacrificing Isaac, gave a special name to the mountain, and he called it Jehovah Jireh to commemorate the place. So it was with Hagar, so it was with Samuel, and so it was for Samson. At the end of the day he prayed. And what did he pray? And Samson called on the Lord and said, O Lord, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me. I pray thee only this once, O God, that I may be at once avenged of the disciple of the Philistines for my two eyes. Four things Samson had. To the very last, he had his God. To the very last, he had a personal testimony that God was his God. To the very last, he had hope in the mercy of God. And to the very last, he had faith in the accomplishment of his life's objective. The Lord is able to exceed and answer every cry. He is our help in every need, our refuge ever nigh. He's able to maintain his right, his sovereignty make known, to turn from darkness into light and seek and save his own. He's able to subdue each foe, give victory to a worm. He's able to bear his people through and all his will perform. If you are a Christian, you can cast your care on God, for God cares for you. If you're a sinner, you can come and receive the free gift of God, which is everlasting life. And when your life has run its course, you will be safe in the arms of Jesus, safe on His gentle breast, thereby His love overshadowed, sweetly your soul shall rest. May none of us leave this house of God tonight until we are sure, beyond any shadow of a doubt, that we are saved and safe by the grace of God. Let us bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy Word. Thy Word is truth, write it in all our hearts. And may no man leave this house, or no woman or no child leave this house until they're absolutely sure that they're saved by the grace of God. Thou art the great deliverer, and as Thou didst deliver Samson, Thou dost still deliver Thy people. Help us to trust in the Lord with all our understanding and learn to know His power, His grace, and His eternal salvation. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest and remain and abide with us now and forevermore. And the people of God said, Amen. Remember the meeting upstairs now and come and join us for fellowship. If you're in this house and you're not a Christian, and God has spoken to you through the message of the gospel preached, I'll be in this room after this service. Come and talk with me, please. I'm your servant for Jesus' sake. Amen and amen.